Thank you, Gary, and happy Sabbath, brethren. And I see the word got out, and I was speaking. So my sermon is entitled No Gossip, and I think Dave Wallach gave about half of my comments from the book of Proverbs. Anyway, no gossip. We don't think about it, but gossip is something that is not liked at all by God. And we don't have to kill to sin. We don't even have to steal to sin. We don't have to commit adultery to sin. We don't have to work on the Sabbath to sin. We can sin simply by talking. There's sin in the words that we use, and we're going to give an account for them, just like we steal things. We're going to have to answer for that. And Jesus Christ says that very thing in Matthew 12, verse 35, 36, and 37. Matthew 35, 36, and 37, Matthew 12. The good man or woman brings good things out of the good stored up in them. And the evil man or woman brings evil things out of the evil that's stored up in them. But I tell you, men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they've spoken. Every time they've taken the word of God in vain, every time they've taken the Lord in vain, Jesus Christ, every time that we have used lying or false statements about them, any empty words, any worthless words, any idle words, not only taking the name of God in vain, but also lying and some malicious gossip and slander. All of these things we'll have to give an account for. We're going to start this message in Proverbs 10 and verse 18. Proverbs 10 and verse 18. Verse 18 says, who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. And slander means to take someone else and run them down when they're not present. And whoever slanders is a gossip as well on things like this. From here, let's go to Proverbs 11 and verse 13, just across the page here. Proverbs 11 and verse 13. A gossip betrays a confidence. So if you tell someone something, you want them to keep the secret, a gossip won't keep a secret. But a trustworthy man or woman keeps a secret. And a talebearer is the same thing as a gossip, just a different term for the same word. And that's what's used in the Bible quite a bit. But he who is faithful has a faithful spirit, conceals the matter, and that's what we should be. We should have a faithful spirit and keep secrets that we are told. God's people should be faithful and not a gossip ever, ever, ever. From here, let's go to Proverbs 16, verse 28. 16 and verse 28. Verse 28 says, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. But the heart of the righteous studies to answer. So when we're put in a position like this to listen to gossip, we don't have to participate in it. It's better not to say anything about it than to get involved with it, because it just seems to amplify so much of the time. Go to Proverbs 17 and verse 9. Here's someone who covers over a transgression and seeks love. As unusual as that sounds, that's what it's talking about here. Verse 9. Chapter 17 and verse 9 of Proverbs. He who covers over an offense promotes love. But whoever repeats a matter separates close friends. I'm going to talk about that here in just a moment. So we don't want to be a whisperer. We want to keep a transgression to ourselves and show love rather than separate people. Go to Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 20. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 20. It's the one that Dave read here earlier. The last verse in chapter 10. It says, do not revile the king even in your thoughts. The word revile is an interesting word. It comes from the word vile, only four letters in it, V-I-L-E. And vile is absolutely the lowest, worst, most contemptuous word you can use to put somebody down. So if you want to talk bad about them, just open up and let it run, because that's what they're talking about. And an example of a vile person would be someone who sees a man or a woman walking with a cane and they're blind. And he walks over and grabs the cane, breaks it, and throws it away. That's what vile type of people do. Or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird of the air may carry your words, and a bird of the wing may report what you say. We're going to see that that's just the case. We see here that Solomon has an interesting way with words. I've always liked the way that he speaks, because he makes sense to me. Among our circle of friends, a husband dies and now his widow sells the house and some furniture and moves out of state to be near her daughter to assist her in comfort and love, to assist her in her time of need. So I thought that is a really good idea for her to do that. And in the meantime, a friend of some 30 years or so made an unpleasant political comment, and sure enough, a bird on the wing did indeed carry this report to the widow, just as Solomon stated. And she was very offended by the comment and did not answer any of her former friend's phone calls. A friendship damaged because of words. Sometimes we say things that really offend people. Well, my wife Anna tells me that there has been a reconciliation of late, which I was glad to hear, and I hope that it works out and those two gals get together like the old days. Well, King David had a situation like this take place. We're going to read about it in Psalms 55, 12, 13, and 14. Psalms 55, 13, 14, and 15. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure that. If a foe were raising himself against me, in other words, if he's going to take a bow and arrow and shoot me, I could hide from him. But it's you. It's you, a man just like myself. My companion, my close buddy, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked with the throng to the house of God. That basically says it all. Here's a broken friendship about two guys that went to church together and it came to nothing. Gossip is something we want to avoid completely. Never ever enter into gossip. It only ruins people, runs them down. And there are so many of these people about. And they don't keep secrets and they bury your tail. And Solomon is right about a little bird to spread what you say. Also, I have a story of a woman who covered a transgression. This is talked about in Proverbs 17, verse 9, who covers a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter destroys friendships. We've seen a friendship destroyed from that. Now we're going to look at a woman who covers a transgression. Some 15 or so of us went out to eat dinner at an upscale cafe some years ago in Long Beach. I've used this message before because it shows the pros and cons of what goes on. We were at a long table. I was sort of in the center, and the women were sort of on my left, and the men seemed like mostly on my right. The men were talking about golf and sports and so on, and the women were talking about travel and dresses and the savings they made and all that kind of thing. And the women's comments shifted slightly, talking about their friends. And the comment here and there was not all that positive. Some of the comments were just not. One woman I noticed had grown very quiet, didn't make any comments at all. Finally, after some time went by, she spoke up and she said, "I too could say something bad about my friend, but God would hear me. God would hear me. And he would not like it at all. So I will say nothing." The table grew silent for a couple of heartbeats. And this woman was showing the love that's talked about here in verse 9. She was promoting love towards her friend. And just like God is love, in 1 John 4:8, she was love at this table among her friends. And slander, she didn't slander her friend at all. She just kept quiet. In Psalm 103, in verse 12, we see how God deals with our sins and transgressions. Psalm 103, and verse 12. As far as east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us? We're walking along, we're walking starting in the east and we go to the west, we'll never reach it. That's how far away our sins are put by Almighty God. He just doesn't want to remember them. Let's go to Jeremiah 31 and verse 34. We see some similar things here. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Eternal," because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them, declares the Eternal. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. As I'm getting older, my memory is getting less and less and less, and I can't remember. So some of the gossip and some of the slander that was repeated years ago is no longer there because I can't remember any of it. So I can see what God is talking about when he says he doesn't intend to remember our sins. He has a way of putting that out and not want to remember them anymore. And that's the way that we should be in our lives today. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions. Why does he do that? Does he do it for us? Does it for me and you? Sorry, he does it for my own namesake and remembers your sins no more. He does it because of himself. He doesn't want to remember all our evils and all of our wrongs. Even the minor prophets, not just Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, but the minor prophets know about God's dealing with our sins as well. I'm going to go to Micah 7. Micah writes about our sins here in Micah 7 and verse 19. You will again have compassion upon us. You will tread our sins underfoot. It's an interesting way of putting it. And hurling all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Saying the same thing with a little bit of different language. God will remember our sins no more at all. He's going to set them aside completely, which is what we all should be doing today. With gossip and slander. This spring, I was given a potential serious and damaging piece of gossip. I was told that the leader of our division had been let go. The ruse that this man put on was elaborate. He hadn't been just let go. The family on the console had met behind closed doors, discussed the problem at great length, and then they voted. They removed him from office. Now, there was a sense of urgency about his comments as well. It wasn't just lamenting this thing going on. It seemed like it was a plausible idea and that it really happened. Well, as he left, I decided not to say anything one way or the other to anyone, but just be a good listener Turns out that that was the right thing to do. It wasn't going to be a talebearer that day because I didn't know what took place. There was something that was just not right about this closing, and I called my supervisor at the end of the day when everybody had left and pointed this out to him, and he said, no, it has not happened. There's been nobody let go. It's just a bad rumor. Never get it started. And he was very emphatic about that. Of course, I told him I hadn't said anything, but the fact that this guy's story was so elaborate, the family getting together, people talking it out, people deciding what to do. And this is in a family-owned type business, or was at the time. And so that's one of the places where, fortunately, I didn't say anything to anybody. Okay, let's take a look at some of Solomon's advice to us. Proverbs 18 and verse 8. The word of a gossip is like wounds. They go down into a person's innermost being. Sometimes gossip and slander is so horrendous that people don't get over it. They hold grudges for the rest of their lives. And we don't want to be in that group that participates in that kind of thing. We want to be true and perfect to God and not deal with these people that are gossips. Let's go to Proverbs 20 and verse 19. Here King Solomon's advice goes on. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man or a woman who keeps on talking too much. People who gossip tend to talk a little more than the average person. Myself, I tend to be a little more quiet than the average person, I think. Proverbs 25 and verse 9 and 10. Here's more advice from King Solomon. Proverbs 25, verse 9 and 10. If you argue your case with your neighbor, do not betray another man's confidence. So we don't want to bring the name Homer into the conversation if I haven't said anything. Or the name Anna. Or the name Mr. Segley. Or the name Cotty. We don't want to bring them into something if they're not a part of it. That's a terrible thing to be doing, just to back up your own argument. That's not a good thing to do at all. That's terrible. Verse 10 says, "For he who hears it may shame you, and you will never lose your filthy reputation." Proverbs 26. And verse 20 through 26. It's on the next page. Beginning with verse 20. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies out. Verse 21. A charcoal to embers as a wood to fire. So is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into a person's inner parts. That's true. They go way down and get a grip on your thinking, and it's difficult to shake some of these things. Verse 23, like a coating of glaze over earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. Verse 24, a malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but in his heart he harbors deceit. Though his speech is charming, don't believe him. For seven abominations fill his heart. Verse 26, his malice may be concealed by deception, but his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. The last comment I have is not a biblical comment. It's an old adage. And it was handed down from my grandmother to my mother, who handed it down to my brother and me. And I'm here today handing it down to you. You only have one word to change to incorporate it in your life, and that's the first word. Homer. If you can't say something nice about someone, don't say anything at all. We may have already heard that, but we need to keep it in practice. Brethren, have a great Sabbath.